it's Cofield and Company.
James now has the three highest one-day totals for winnings on Jeopardy. James.
There's Harding.
Yes.
Home runs, education, plain Jane, bargaining, the mashed potato.
Yes. You've become a celebrity now. There's going to be a lot of pressure on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's Raleigh, Gary, Rice Price. 11,914. What is brain trust?
That's it. You have just set a one-day record again. $131,127.
Here's Steve Cofield.
What's going on, Jeopardy? What's happening?
Good start to the show. I enjoyed it.
Right.
Very much right in my alley.
Ultimate Jinx. We're hoping to get Jeopardy James on in about 30 minutes. We'll see if it happens. Chrissy's here. It's Cofield. Adam Hill, busy Tuesday, plenty of NBA to get to because we got some crazy rumors now, and Adam had an interesting Saturday, check that, Sunday and Monday that we have to get to coming out of the gates here. Let's do it.
It's time for The Three, presented by Cofield & Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3.
All right, what the hell is going on with Chris Paul? CP3 rumors exploding the last hour or so. Last night, news came out that, man, things are getting really ugly in H-Town, and Harden and Chris Paul can't coexist. Chris Paul is going to have to be moved. Now, the key is he's owed about $125 million over the next 3 years, and he looks like he's 35 going on 60.
Yeah, good luck. You can say you have to move him all you want, and you know the reports today are the situation is not fixable. Their relationship is broken. They have to move on from Chris Paul. Okay, fine. I mean, you should have said that anyway, because you're not going to win with his contract eating up all of your salary and everything else. But now you're also polluting any potential trade market by basically saying, well, we've got to move him. So we basically got to give him away now to get him out of here. So somebody please take him off our hands. I can't imagine anybody doing that. Who is going to pay that contract for that guy right now? Like Chris Paul, when he, you know, at one point was an elite point guard who was in very high demand, and somebody absolutely would have jumped at the chance to take him even at this salary. But he's not worth anywhere close to the salary, and now you've got a guy who apparently, according to reports, cannot fix his relationship with the team's star player. So how's he going to do in your locker room? This is amazing. It's amazing the situation the Rockets are in. What could they possibly do? At this point, If that situation really is unfixable and they can't play together, do they have to trade Harden? I don't know what else, what other option. Chris Paul has no value. So what are you going to do?
Wouldn't this be the ultimate disaster for team building by Daryl Morey if he stuck with Chris Paul and he had to deal James Harden?
It'd be terrible. But I mean, and again, that's crazy. Like, I think in the end, if you can't trade Chris Paul, what you have to do is try to work it out and fix it. Because you can't trade Harden. This is a terrible situation to be in. But again, it's that contract that we talked about from the beginning.
Yep.
That they shouldn't have given him anyway.
Well, don't you look at Chris Paul and say, dude, you're the one who signed up for this. You're the one who took max money. And I said, you know, this time last year, I'm like, I cannot believe he took all the money. You do what you want, but there is a cap. They can blow past the cap, but there's a certain amount that you're going to limit the team to in terms of flexibility, and by taking an extra $10 or $12 million, you saw it. You know, guys like Ariza couldn't stay around. You know, Montrezl Harrell, bye-bye. Yeah. Usable parts were taken up by the rest of Chris Paul's salary, so now he gets every penny he wanted in the deal, and now he can't coexist with James Harden?
It's amazing, and I don't know which side is at fault. We don't really know the inner workings or what's going on there, but again, neither one of us are ever anti-player getting money. I'm fine with it. I think Chris Paul should get more money than what he got, but we're dealing in the reality of a salary cap world where it's not the case where you get your market value. And so when you take that much money and you demand to get that max deal and maybe you're not really worth it anymore, all more power to you. I love that you're getting money, that you're a player, but you're also in a terrible spot in terms of trying to win if you're a player. If winning is important to you, you probably shouldn't be taking that deal, and now they're stuck with it. And I honestly don't know. If they can somehow get rid of him, And I mean, hand him to somebody.
Right.
Not even get anything back.
Yeah, you're not trading assets to get him.
If they can somehow get rid of him and have somebody take on that contract, that's one of the moves of the year. That'd be incredible. I don't know how they can do it.
Listen to the fire and the fury of one Adam Hill. This is your favorite time of year. This is your NBA season. The draft coming up this week and these 2 weeks. You love it.
Well, it's also Jeopardy Day.
A little extra energy there. We're hoping to get Jeopardy James at 3:30. We've got a bunch of guys around the NBA opting out of deals. And you see the kind of money they're leaving on the table. Kyrie Irving has to leave $21 million on the table. Harrison Barnes, $26 million. Horford upwards of $30
million? Yeah.
By the way, you cover hockey.
I do.
What do you think guys around hockey who are like, yeah, Max, $11.5 million. Harrison Barnes, $25 to $26 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money. Certainly a lot of money flying around, and there will be in the free agent period. But, yeah, I think hockey players kind of understand what kind of money they're bringing in also.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, if you're cool with hockey players bitching about salaries, and I guess you'd be cool with WNBA players complaining about salary, my guess is the people who back the hockey players would not back the WNBA players.
I would venture to guess that you're correct.
It all comes down to money brought in.
Of course.
And the NBA players and their union is great, and they've sliced up the deal so that they get lots of money, and the NBA is on fire and has, you know, mega revenue streams in the U.S. and Canada and around the world. So we'll get to some of the guys bailing. Our buddy JVT is going to be in the 4 o'clock hour, so we'll talk a little bit more about the Celtics and what the Celtics could look like, because they could lose Horford and Kyrie Irving over the course of basically 5 or 6 days, and we know Golden State has some big decisions here. They may have a big roster turnover or bring back a team that really can't compete this coming year. So we missed you yesterday. I wanted to hear all about the Saturday. Yeah, I think I said it was Sunday. Saturday, softball tilt. How big was the crowd?
Sold out. Yeah.
10,000 plus. Golden Knights, Raiders, softball.
Yeah.
On a Saturday night in Vegas.
Yeah, at the ballpark. Woo! I think it was a good experience for people to get out there and see the ballpark that haven't seen it before. And if you haven't, recommend it. It's a very cool place to go and just see and hang out. But yeah, they get together. It's VGK versus the Raiders. So it's kind of, hey, here's our teams. And it was a good turnout for both sides. A lot of VGK players there, a lot of Raiders players there playing in the event. So I think cool to see them kind of come together and the future of the city. It was very clear that it's a VGK town and not a Raiders town yet. Like, I don't get... Like, basically booing one side when that's your team.
Really? They booed the Raiders?
Yes, essentially. I mean, they were not cheering for them at all, and a couple of them, they were like, all right. And it wasn't, like, outright, like, we hate you, but it was, like, very clearly who the heel was. Like, that's your team! That's a Vegas team!
What does that say to you about the future when the Raiders are here?
Well, I think when they come here, if they win, it'll be the same for them. I mean, that's what they'll have. And believe me,
you don't think the Golden Knights will always own the town as our team? I'm not saying in terms of volume, but maybe the 20,000 fans being super passionate.
There'll be a special place.
Always over the Raiders?
There'll be a special place for a small group of fans, sure. But, I mean, it'll come down to who's more successful. And if the Raiders have a season where they're in the playoffs and the Knights are in last place in the division, it's a Raiders town. It's not a Knights town.
You think it's going to change like that?
Of course. That's what this town has always been.
How many years do the Golden Knights have to lose before people start falling off?
One? But as I've said, they do have a nice advantage in that it started off so well, so it's going to take time for some people to fall off. But they also have the advantage that so many actual fans have been priced out that there will be like a year where it's not cool to go. So like the people that have been going to all these games are not going to go, and then the average fan who hasn't been able to afford a game will finally be able to go. And then they'll like it, and they'll love it. So they'll have a little bit of a grace period there, but not a whole lot. They're set up to do well for a long time, though.
On the softball, how competitive was the game?
I mean, it wasn't overly competitive till closer to the end, but there were certain players that were certainly very competitive. Vontaze Burfict, that's a guy, he does not want to lose at anything.
Really? He was hardcore softball.
My goodness. Was he ever.
Worse than Dave Hall and Ted Pretty over at Fox 5?
I mean, I think he might be because...
That's saying a lot.
It started off, there was a home run derby.
Okay.
And there was like two pitchers. It was, I'm sure who they were. It was two girls locally. I don't know where they come from or what their, you know, background is or whatever. But each of the teams had a girl that was the pitcher for the full time. And then they both threw batting practice for the home run derby. And it was 2 minutes basically after your first swing that you got. So it was kind of rapid fire.
Oh, no. Did he go Vaughn complete says perfect. Rules are like Adam Hill?
Well, he if I remember correctly, he fouled off the first one, and then he got like nine straight awful pitches. So I don't blame him on some level.
Right, you would have flipped out.
I would have been furious, but he's like, get it up! Come on, get it up! Like, come on, what do we do? Like, let's go! Like, he wanted up there, and he got one good pitch, and he mashed it. It went... so far.
Good swing?
So not a great swing, but yeah. Like you also notice a lot of these guys, like some guys said they hadn't swung a bat in like 20 years, but they just have raw like athlete power.
Right.
So they're hitting them out. But yeah, he hit a couple out, but it's just furious. And then Jose Canseco like brought his own pitcher and his and then everybody's like, what is this?
Speaking of competitive.
So they're flipping out, and then he wins it. He was the anchor for the VGK team in the home run derby.
What a loaded team.
Well, Shane Victorino was the anchor for the Raiders team.
Okay.
And he had some bombs.
Okay.
But so Canseco comes up, and of course he wins it for him, and it's a celebration, and Burfict just comes running over and screaming about the rules. Riley Smith dropped a, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So
really?
You know, it was fun, but Burfict was like, okay. All right. Well, yeah. I see how it is.
Man, wait until I see you on the base pass.
Yes.
Might be a spike coming down to your foot or your chest.
Vontaze Burfict did lay out Chance.
Did he?
Oh, yeah, he did. Which made me very happy. Yes. Burfict was out in the outfield. And
how do you not
have
video of that?
Chance was just traipsing. Well, it was very unexpected.
Oh, beautiful.
He was just traipsing around, and then Vontaze laid him out. It was good.
Better than, who was it, Jamal Adams on the stupid Patriot? And then New England media tried to stir it up and say the guy had broken ribs and went to the hospital. And, of course, lying and cheating, as always, the Patriots.
I don't think it was that good.
Okay.
It was a pretty good takedown, though. Nice tackle.
Did Chance lose his head?
No, it stayed on, right. Fortunately.
Was there an intentional walk in the game?
There was. And, I don't think people got it to the level that I did as far as being controversial. But
totally overanalyzing a charity softball game.
Well, Jose Canseco comes up with the bases loaded. He had already destroyed a ball like his previous at-bat. Comes up with the bases loaded, and they decide, the Raiders tell their pitcher to intentionally walk him. They basically rolled the ball in four times so that he couldn't swing. So, okay, gamesmanship, I get it, you're trying to win. Of course, I have no problem with that. However, they had just announced that Zappos was donating $1,000 for every run scored in the game. Like, they had just announced that.
Right.
And then the Raiders, like, walk.
Yeah.
Like,
we're not giving a freebie.
I get it. But it was also a 10-run limit per inning. So, this is me just analyzing and, like, doing the numbers. It's a 10-run limit per inning. They had already scored 9 runs in the inning. Or they scored 8 runs in the inning. So, let him hit the home run. They're going to score the runs anyway. Let him hit it. I don't think they even count. But what are you doing? Why are you walking?
Look at how worked up he is.
Right, if you have a 10-run limit, they didn't really announce whether if you scored, if you hit a home run to go over the 10, if the 10 counted. Or if the 12 counted, they didn't really say that. But in my mind, if it's $1,000 per run, you're not intentionally walking people in a charity softball game. Unless, you know, if it's Jose Canseco up second and third, two outs, sure. Yeah, fine.
Right.
But base is loaded and you're going to force in the ninth run anyway. I think you just let him hit and you let the charity get more money.
Gotta love Adam Hill getting on someone or someones for being too competitive, taking a game too seriously. So we missed Adam yesterday because we wanted to hear about the softball game. Why did we miss him? He was having dinner with Dana White and got a ton of nuggets at the dinner.
The 3 is brought to you by Cofield & Company's Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. Steve is covering the drinks. It's a 3-hour open bar with $5 food. Happy Hour Fridays at Crazy Horse 3. It's Cofield & Company.
Shaq, which team do you feel like is under the most pressure in this free agency with all those Ks, that deep list?
Definitely has to be Golden State. And you have to say, as the owner, do I want to go $200 million over salary cap? Answer is probably no. So somebody's going to have to go. Now the question is, who do you let go? let KD go, you let Klay go, you let Steph go. Who's going to go? I don't know. So do you have that conversation with those guys? Take less money and keep winning championship? I don't really know a lot of those guys, so I don't know what their mentality is. But to answer your question, Ms. Molly, Golden State has the most pressure.
Uh-oh. What was going on there? That was a weird close to the exchange. Shaq with a Miss Molly reference.
Miss Molly on the heels of the LeVar Ball stuff. I love Shaq. He's in the Happy Madison crew, which, you know, is led by my boy Adam Sandler. But, is that condescending, Miss Molly? I don't think I heard him say Mr. Stephen A. Smith.
Excuse me, ma'am?
I mean, where do we draw the line? This is insanity.
What, Miss Paradise? Because I mispronounced her last name.
Yeah, thank you for that. That felt good.
I think he was trying to be very polite.
But
I think that was the effort.
But it comes across condescending now, right? Is that the new rule?
I mean, not to me.
Well, you're not a woman.
Sexualized?
That's true.
You're not a woman.
Anytime you want, you, Adam.
Weren't you more than willing to step back when African-American players were complaining about the owner's term? Here's a woman. She's saying she does not want to be called Miss.
Yeah, I don't think Chrissy counts.
Thank you.
That's ridiculous.
I'll take it.
I think there's a lot of women with Chrissy who thought yesterday's exchange was ridiculous on the part of Molly Karam and Stephen A. Smith. We're going to get to that in about 20 minutes, hoping to hook up with Jeopardy James Holzhauer at 3:30. But Adam, well, I think my tease got misunderstood. Green Damage said, reacting to me mentioning that you got a lot of nuggets from Dana White at dinner yesterday, was thinking chicken nuggets. No, he got news items.
Yeah. There also wasn't an actual dinner.
You had dinner.
Well, I had dinner. It wasn't with Dana.
What do you mean? I got the invite. It said dinner with Dana White.
Well,
what happened to the dinner?
There was dinner, and he was there.
I thought it was just you and Dana White.
No. Well, why would you get the invite?
Well, I figured once I turned it down that it wasn't all of Cofield and Company. It was just you and Dana.
It was me and Dana and our good friend Ryan McKinnell.
Did Ryan wear flip-flops?
I didn't actually notice. I'm not in the habit of looking at other dudes' feet. I don't know why.
Well, if they're out, I see them.
What about girls' feet?
It's fine.
That's okay?
That's commonplace.
Yeah.
But the whole hooves thing at a somewhat formal affair or work is ridiculous.
Well, I assume whatever he wore to work yesterday...
I think he had flip-flops on yesterday, because I said to him, I was like, you're staying for the dinner? Because I actually thought it was a dinner. See, we were invited to the old UFC offices, and they had a kitchen upstairs, and there was, I don't know, like 15 of us. This is like 8 years ago, and we were right off the kitchen, and they made some lunch, really.
Yeah.
But it was delicious.
It's great.
It's delicious. I think I had the sea bass, and I noticed Dana White just had mustard on something. I never know what he's eating.
He puts mustard on everything.
Did he have mustard yesterday?
Insane. I don't know. I didn't have dinner, so I'm not sure.
Did you stay at all to eat? You didn't stay?
I was around. I was doing interviews and talking to people and, you know, actually working. Other people had dinner. I believe there was actually an open bar.
Is that right?
What I heard? Yes. Yes, I heard that.
Why don't we have a report on that?
I heard that Big Mac was sampling the open bar, so we could check with him.
Oh, is that right?
Time.
He was throwing some back as a rep of Lotus Broadcasting?
Yeah.
Here we go. Drama in the LBC.
It was perfectly acceptable. It was like 9 o'clock by that point, so it's fine.
We got another question about the studio because we've been rolling some video out there. Rudy said, does Steve Cofield make Adam Candy stand during the show since he stands the whole show? So then McKinnell was like, the cameras tell all. There's no secret. Whoever wants to stand, stand. Yeah. Don't stand if you don't want to stand. Chrissy sits. Adam sits. I stand.
I find it difficult to try to read your computer when you're standing. I don't know about you.
I have no problem.
Well, you also have giant type on your screen,
I do. And I'm wearing readers with giant type. Yeah, you know what? I did notice yesterday that Candy was standing. I don't know if he's trying to fulfill the challenge. Like, he's like, the old fat guy stands the whole show. I can't let the audience down, so I have to stand. But when he was standing delivering stories, he would take the computer and lift it up to his face. I'm like, you can sit down.
Yeah, it's very difficult to do both. I think it's one or the other for the
most
part.
It's not difficult. I've done it for years. Okay. You guys actually challenged the assertion that I stand. Actually, it was Taylor Byrne, who's now in... How long has he been in Prague now? Is it 2 years?
Seems
three?
Like 2 years. Two years, I think.
Because he said he was going to leave if Trump got elected.
Right.
So he's been gone as long as Trump has been president.
Yeah.
But anyway, I throw it out there. I'm like, yeah, I stand every show. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm like, I do.
I've never seen you sit once during the show.
Well, you gotta push it out.
We're at a remote or something.
You gotta be aggressive. You'll be back off the mic.
I feel like he challenged it based on your leaning.
Oh, that which is totally ridiculous.
Oh, you got that lean going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't count as much if I'm leaning on the counter.
Support.
You guys are ridiculous.
It's a crutch.
I'm trying to do 15 things while I do the show.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
Nuggets, 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 nuggets. Where do we start? Dana White dinner. Adam Hill, who didn't have dinner or drinks. First of all, where were you? You're in some building, like,
so it's
like on top of dead bodies from the mob.
It's
6 miles outside of town. Where is this?
No, it's called the UFC Apex. It's the new building next door to the UFC Performance Institute.
Oh, it's right
headquarters.
There. I heard the scuttlebutt was there was some sort of shuttle or bus.
Yeah, well, they were.
That made it sound like it was like in the middle of nowhere.
No, it's next door.
Okay.
But they weren't, I guess they weren't sure about the parking situation yet, so they're like, let's just gather everybody
at the
main building.
They weren't sure about the conditioning of the average UFC media person?
No, it was more parking at the at the new building. So, yeah, there was a shuttle bus to go like 500 yards.
Really?
Yeah.
How bad do you feel about that?
It was more just like, can I just park there?
Lazy.
Why can't I just park there? That was the bigger thing.
That's great.
What are you doing? Well, it's also, you can't really walk directly there, so you'd have to go way around. I get it from a sense. I just don't know why you didn't park
there. So what's this secret building like, and what are they doing in it?
It's a production center for UFC. So basically, it's the old Scientific Games building. There's a huge warehouse that they now turned into an arena with an octagon that can be changed into a boxing ring or a kickboxing ring or really any kind of combat sports that you can hold in there. And it's going to be where they do shows. Like tonight, the Contender Series, the debut of the season, it will be in there.
Oh, they're ready to go.
Yeah, it's tonight is the first night. They'll broadcast from there, stream on ESPN Plus, and all their live events, The Ultimate Fighter, all that stuff will be there, and they have a whole lot more plans for the future.
All right, I want to hear more about this secret UFC building that Adam was allowed access to, turned down dinner with Dana White, turned down drinks as well. On the way back, can Adam Hill handle this? Do not have a moment like I had with John Taffer. Don't go Chris Farley show on us, please. Jeopardy James is on the way. Have some good questions. Don't lock up. Don't ask him about his final Jeopardy strategy 14 times in a row, please.
You're 90 seconds away from more Cofield and Company right here on ESPN Las Vegas.
I've paid my dues time after time.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
A professional sports gambler from Las Vegas, Nevada, James Holzhauer.
You've become a celebrity now. There's going to be a lot of pressure on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Boy, we got a lot of questions. We got to find out about this guy, Trebek. He always seems to be rooting against the greats on this show. So we have one of the greats on the horn, I would say, of 2019, because I love Joey Gallo. Big fan of Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant, all these great athletes and competitors that have come out of Vegas. But Jeopardy James is on the horn. Man, this guy is being asked to do everything, including he's going to be one of the presenters at the NHL Awards show here in town and to give Steve and Adam on ESPN Las Vegas a little bit of time. How are you, sir?
Hi, doing great.
Let's get right into it. Trebek, a good guy or not?
You know, you don't get to interact with him much, but it's just a consummate professional. Kept showing up to work knowing he had cancer, and it looked pretty bad for him. So, you know, I got to respect him for that.
Wait, what does that mean? You don't get to interact with Trebek much?
Well, you know, they had these quiz show scandals 60 years ago, and so what happens is if you are seen out to dinner with Alex Trebek, everyone's going to tweet about it, and they'll think, oh, there's some foul play here, so... You know, once the camera goes off, he's basically back in his dressing room, and you don't see him again until the next episode starts. I understand he's coming to the NHL Awards tomorrow, though, so I'm getting upstaged already.
Nice. I didn't realize it was the game. Well, the surroundings around Jeopardy were that intense. You were aware of just how intense the whole setup is?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, they have a big green room briefing every day, and one of the big things they talk about is everything they do to make sure everything is above board. You know, they got an on-step lawyer who had a lot of talks with me about how I can't just push an imaginary stack of chips into the middle to signify an all-in bet.
That's good to know. That's a special rule just for you, I would imagine, there. So A lot of things to get into with you. First of all, you mentioned the quiz show scandals of the old days. I am fascinated how many shows are coming back now. Like, we're seeing all these new shows in primetime. Is there another game show that you think you would also do very, very well on?
Probably there are some, but, you know, for the near future at least, they, you know, stuck with Jeopardy. They have my rights until, I think, 6 months after my tournament of champions airs, which won't be for a while. So nothing immediate on the horizon.
Okay. But just theoretically, I mean, like a Card Shark, something like that, like you could just do great at?
Yeah, you know, I could picture myself being that guy from 35 years ago who memorized the Press Your Luck board, but they probably closed that loophole by now.
I would think
Is that actually insulting at Adams Park to mention Card Sharks? Isn't that a bit beneath
well, it's
you?
Well, no, it came back on, that's why.
I know, but it's such a simple game. This guy's a genius. Tell him, James.
I'm not going to take any offense to it.
Okay, so I was very passionate about a lot of different things during your run on the show. I'm a huge Jeopardy fan, have been for a long time, was obsessed with your run, as a lot of people were. But my one of my biggest things watching the last episode, I know that they're taped way in advance. The episodes that you won hadn't aired yet when the end came. But were the other contestants there for tapings that you were on?
So they sometimes hold over contestants from one taping day to the next. There's usually one or two alternates there just in case, someone chickens out at the last minute or gets sick or something like that. But for the most part, they first learned of what was going on at the beginning of the green room briefing. They say, defending champagne, how many games have you won and how much money? And they just kind of gave me a look like, really?
Well, because my thought was, it felt like she was playing the way that you play. I mean, I got that sense. Did you feel that?
I feel like she just came in with a good game plan, or maybe she was able to adjust on the fly. I don't think that she snuck in any tapings prior to this, if that's what you're insinuating. I don't know.
No, I don't know. I don't know if it was sneaking in. I didn't know if they, you know, there's the next, you know, four games are like waiting there to do their appearance while your, you know, previous four games are being taped. I don't know how that kind of played out, but that's not usually the case. They're not usually like the next contestant pool waiting around for their taping.
Well, at least in the case of Emma, who beat me, that was the first taping of the day, so she hadn't seen anything. But I think, when you hear the defending champ has won 32 games, you see me start at the bottom of the board the whole time, you kind of get the idea like, hey, I have to play a cutthroat game to beat this guy.
Fair enough. And I know I've heard you talk about it, but the way that it ended, I mean, it's not like you did something wrong. It was just like she played a very good game, you played a very good game, she came out ahead. That has to feel better than the alternative if you just kind of blew up one game.
Yeah, I definitely think so. You know, knowing that I played my best, went down swinging, and, you know, it just wasn't my day. Not as good as I could ask for.
Jeopardy James is with us as he is part of the NHL Award Show going down here in town. How soon after, well, you knew you lost, but so you had a little time to, well, actually, what'd you have, about 2 months to kind of absorb the loss, right? Think about it?
I guess you could say that. So I started taping on February 5th, and I think my last tape date was March 12th. Episodes started airing April 4th to June 3rd, so there was definitely some time in there to process what was going on.
So you weren't really jumping on Twitter right after the loss, because I can't imagine after losing going on Twitter right away, but you went on Twitter, and you took on all comers, and, man, people were... I mean, Adam started almost crying in the studio. People are coming at you so hard.
It's easy for people to talk out there, but they don't really know what's going on. You know, conspiracy theories are all kind of silly, I think. And honestly, it was fun to poke a little fun at them.
Adam James is very nice.
Yes.
Now, you speak like you did a couple of weeks ago when you started talking about the people who are going after James.
Because they're idiots, basically, is what I was saying, and I was screaming about it. I've had a long-standing theory that you can judge a lot about somebody's intellect on whether they understand betting patterns and the proper betting on something like Jeopardy. And I thought people really showed their ignorant side just coming after you the way that they did about what you know, as you said, there's conspiracy theories. Oh, he didn't want to win and all this other stuff. You made the perfect bet, and then you have to still defend yourself against idiots out there. That has to be frustrating on some level.
I don't have to defend myself from anyone. You know, if they want to keep believing this, that's their prerogative. You know, it's not my problem.
He takes it very personally. Adam feels like he has to defend you because he was freaking melting down afterwards. When you were on the show, Did you basically have to take a total break from sports betting?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I had to, but, you know, it kind of lined up well with the time in between the Super Bowl and March Madness. If I kept taping through March Madness, that would have been a tough call to make. But, you know, first tape day was like 2 days after the Super Bowl, so I was still kind of able to do my prop bets for that.
What is your best sport betting?
You know, it changes year to year. This year it was hockey, but, you know, it used to be baseball every year. Now I think baseball is the toughest thing to beat. So like hockey and in-game football wagering.
Are you welcome at every book or have...
No.
So, you know what?
Many places have...
Take us through that. Like, when you're doing well as a bettor, how does it go down? Do you get banned or you get kind of limited in terms of money and then it's just of no interest to you? Like, what's the process?
They never tell you why you're not welcome at their place anymore because I don't know. I mean, this must be a corporate policy never to give reasons, but the grapevine indicates that if you're beating the closing numbers on their odds, you know, let's say a football game opens with a spread of 6 and it closes at 4, if you got 6, 5.5, they're not going to want you to keep doing that if you're consistently beating the closing number like that.
Would you ever get to a point where you're like, you know what, I can't make it work in Vegas anymore, I got to go elsewhere?
Well, I think that, like, you know, New Jersey and places like that, a lot of the places are run by the same conglomerates that don't welcome pros there either, so I'm not sure that would help too much.
Yeah, I know I'm really sticking on the betting thing, but I am fascinated by the fact that you are a legit sports bettor. You were making a living doing this. We're talking to Jeopardy James, who, of course, his fame is from doing so well on Jeopardy. He's been offered so many cool opportunities. Last thing on the betting, do you think there's going to be a day where it is going to be next to impossible to make a real living where there's just so much volume in all these states that they don't welcome, you know, the true sharps, the real pros anymore?
You know, it's possible. It's hard to see down the road more than just a year or so, but more and more the places are getting taken over by the big companies that don't welcome professional action like in any form. You know, a lot of places in town, they'll take, you know, a certain amount of money from the pros thinking, okay, you know, we're going to lose money to this guy in the long run, but at least he's getting us valuable information about what side the sharps are on in this game. But, you know, a lot of places just don't want that at all.
Your run on Jeopardy kind of coincided with this, you know, explosion of sports betting around the country and being legalized in a lot more places. Do you kind of feel any, is there a pride of like, hey, people have kind of opened their eyes to this is a real thing, it's a real profession, and some people actually do, and they're not some shady backroom characters, they're real people that are, you know, genuine and smart?
Well, I don't know how these people can tell I'm not a shady backroom character, but it is kind of good, I think, to bring a positive face to this movement that's kind of exploding in popularity around the country, and if I can be a good representative of the business, that's great.
You have talked about wanting to do some work with VGK. What would you like to do?
I'm not really sure what's happening. I know like this explosion of hockey data coming out now, and without knowing any specifics, I feel confident that I could take a look at something in this data and find something there that they could work with. But you know, I don't really know what it is at this point.
You just made a lot of money on Jeopardy. I'm assuming you're making a healthy living as a sports bettor. If some betting service, betting show comes along and they're like, yeah, you know what, you can still bet, but we're going to give you a salary of like $500,000 to be part of what we do. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Probably not, but I don't know. You never say never, right?
What's the best opportunity? What's the most unique opportunity you've been presented?
Oh, I don't know. I can talk about that. So actually, the most unique was definitely that the Crazy Horse 3 offered to host my victory party. But as far as things I would actually accept, I don't know that I can talk about things that are still pending. Plenty of interesting things, you know.
Well, you got to do that. You know, we do every Friday at Crazy Horse 3, so that would be a nice tie-in. Come down on Fridays. Come on. You make a little cash, celebrity appearance. So they come down to see you, not the dancers.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. I think that would be great. Our show every Friday at Crazy Horse, and then We'll have James come down and hang out, too. It'll be perfect.
Oh, I got a wife who might agree with that.
Damn it. All right, well, it goes down tomorrow. Award show. James is in town. It's at Mandalay Bay, and we hope you have a lot of fun, and congrats on your success. And the tournament champions is coming up, right? Like, you guys haven't taped that, right?
It hasn't taped, and they're tentatively scheduling for this fall, but we'll see.
All right, good deal. Well, thank you for all the time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go.
Thanks, man.
James Holzhauer, Jeopardy James, Adam's Idol, You can only hope to be him someday, even though how many times you failed on the Jeopardy entry game?
I wouldn't say I failed. Just didn't get
on. Are you
on
the show?
No.
Then you failed.
Get on.
Then you failed.
Well, no, the test part I passed.
All right, well, what's the missing link for you to get on the show?
It was a weird...
You're a local celebrity. You're a smart ass. You got a big personality. I think Trebek will hate you.
Long before. I was in college at the time. I wasn't...
Why aren't you doing it now? Please don't tell me the newspaper.
I don't know where they...
I'm a journalist. I can't go on the show.
I don't think I'm on the email list anymore. I've got to find out where there's an audition or something.
Well, you should be doing it.
We also have no chance of being James. So, like, the bar has been set. Why even try now?
Oh, stop. You're ridiculous. What a weak excuse. All right, on the way back, we'll get into more of what Adam found out from Dana White in the future of the UFC and some of their big plans. And, of course, we got to hit day two of the LeVar versus Molly controversy.
Stick around. Cofield and Company returns in minutes in the Finley Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Satisfied?
Yeah.
With?
Good. I mean, I wanted to do 20 minutes on the Final Jeopardy bidding.
I just couldn't let you do it.
You threw me off.
Chris, he did I screw him over by not letting him talk to his hero about numbers and analytics?
You actually were surprisingly restrained. I was impressed. But
well, he wasn't here. It would have been very difficult if he was here.
Well, yeah, that's true. That would have thrown everything.
Did Adam go Chris Farley, a la Chris Farley Show and Paul McCartney?
No.
Not he didn't go. He didn't hit that level.
Were you as bad as I was with John Taffer?
Maybe.
Can say no.
Might have been that level.
I was bad.
You were.
I just kept saying over and over again. Remember the time you yelled at the guy at the bar?
Yes, I remember.
The guy in St. Louis.
Which
the
bar?
Guy in Long Beach. The guy here. The guy there. Like, yeah, I remember. It's every show.
I thought Long Beach was a lady.
I don't know.
Sounds like a good moment.
She was running that
How
dive
bar. How long
ago
was this?
Probably 3 years ago. We had Taffer on and just nerded out on Bar Rescue.
Aw.
You do love that show.
Mostly. I've heard some things about the show that are a bit weird.
Me too.
Yeah. What can you do?
Done some local spots.
So I mostly love John Taffer. My love is unconditional for LeVar.
True.
Your dad.
Pops.
It's Father's Day, you know, weekend.
I know, I didn't get to reach out to him. I called the other guy.
Oh, okay.
My real dad.
Does he know?
I don't have the heart to tell him. Actually, he's really deaf. So I can just scream and I'm like, sorry! Dad! LeVar Ball is my new father! And he just fire back with something ridiculous.
What a crew. He's deaf. You just said you were blind.
I know.
It's a mess. What a mess.
The other day I called him. I was like, Happy Father's Day! I'm yelling. And he's like, what? I'm like, all right, that'll do it.
That's a good combination when you've said your mom has no patience.
Ooh.
So that's, okay, my husband can't hear.
Yeah.
My son can't see.
Oh, you gotta see. No, when we go, we'll meet up on that vacation once a year. And by day two, she's just done screaming at him. She's like, see what he's like? You know, he can't hear. And he won't put on his damn hearing aid. I'm like, all right, I don't know.
Well, luckily, he can't hear her complain.
I think
that might be why he doesn't use it, right?
The three of us, there's three brothers. We're like, I think it's strategy.
Yeah,
it'd be nice when I talk to him on the phone, turn on the hearing aid. But with my mother, he's just like, click. What?
Smart.
That's a genius plan.
It really is. I think a lot of guys do it.
Well, everybody tunes out a little bit.
Yeah.
And tries to just listen, you know, one ear, half listen.
Yeah.
I love half listen.
We got it. You do it when you watch TV together.
Oh.
And yeah. I know he does it. He's just so focused. She'll be talking right at him. He just doesn't even move.
Well, can you get him like wireless headphones? He can listen to the TV.
I think they've tried.
At his own.
I think they've tried.
Okay. That's all the solutions I have.
He's in his own world. He's happy.
All that matters.
Papa Cofield.
Yeah.
One.
Well, LeVar Ball was happy. I think he's still fine. He knows this is all bunk. So Adam wasn't here yesterday to hear about the LeVar Ball discussion on First Take. I mean, there were some classic moments. First Take producers are just JOs. They They play some video with Lonzo shooting a jumper. And LeVar's trying to make a point, and he's like, yeah, man, he can shoot it. He makes it when he needs to. See, right there. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang.
And then back rim. Like, come on. Setting him up.
That's cold. It's cold-blooded. It was savage.
But then he made this comment because Molly Karam insists on jumping in and asking a question, and the verbiage is weird. Just ask the question.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question
here. You can switch gears with me anytime.
Okay. Let's stay focused here.
Go ahead.
All right. Can you please explain to me what the biggest...
Yeah. I still don't get what happened. And here's what I'm saying. If you're going to report the story, you got to quote it accurately. The New York Post. There is a difference between you can switch gears with me any day and you can switch gears with me any time.
Is there?
Yes. Yes. There
because
is.
I actually do have... I do have LeVar's back in this.
You have to, because you talk about context all the time. And just because someone has creepy tendencies about them, they can't make you creepy.
Right. But
so I don't know what Jalen Rose, what the conversations were like with Molly Karam, or maybe, here's the thing, maybe around, I mean, we know there's a Berman culture that they've tried to extinguish over the years. Maybe Molly is so amped up all the time to be sexually harassed, she was like, it's happening.
Oh, like she had like a, like she was triggered.
Yeah.
Like a flashback.
She's on edge.
Well,
it'd be like working here and have people creeping on you coming into the studio, you know, trying to put their hand on hand on the mouse. And all of a sudden you're like, meh. It's going anything like anyone who walks in. Like, what's Adam Hill doing? Like, he's not doing anything. But, you know, the last seven times someone had to deal, you know, if it was Chrissy, last seven times she had to deal with some of the male creeps here. And now she's all amped up for the most docile guy in the world.
Right, but what's the difference between any day and any time?
There's a difference.
So saying you can
anytime is within the, anytime's within the conversation.
Okay.
Anytime is within the conversation.
Okay.
Day is like outside of the show. It's in the future.
Okay.
That could be potentially creepy. Don't
anywhere.
Change the quote.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yep.
But I
as I pointed out yesterday, if he had gone as far as saying like, you know, you can change gears. Here's my gear shift.
Yeah, put your hand on this.
That's clear. This was not clear. This is everyone amped up looking for something.
No,
and then Stephen A., because he was like scrambling, you know, because LeVar's brilliant. He's scrambling, having a tough time in these discussions. He wanted to, you know, let's undercut LeVar. Let me get control back.
What? Yep. Why did you just do a gear shift?
Yeah,
that's creepy. I would say
easy, Chrissy.
It seemed like Stephen A. right away understood it to be offensive. He's like, oh boy.
Okay, do we have Stephen A. drops? Is Stephen A. the one to be judging?
No, not necessarily. But I mean, maybe it takes one to know one. Like when you said earlier, like maybe the culture is so bad that you're just looking for it. I would make that same argument and say, maybe LeVar is just that's who he is. So like everything he says, you're looking for it. Because he tends to treat women differently during interviews. He just does.
No.
And so
he treated one woman, someone could say poorly by saying stay in your lane.
And that was barely even
that's his character.
Christine Leahy.
That's his character. But again, I think if you take this situation just at face value, I think it's ridiculous to go after LeVar Ball in this situation, because she said we're going to change gears. Okay, that, you know, you can do that anytime, whatever, fine. Like, there, you can't really go too over the top with going after him. But when you take into consideration this is how he seems to treat women on TV, and it's not really how he seems to treat guys on TV, then you start to think, okay, maybe there's something there. But again, I will defend LeVar in this situation, because I don't think it's that obvious that he was making that statement in that kind of a context. It was pretty clear to me that Stephen A. thought he was, and that MQR thought he was, but I don't know that you can automatically say like this was offensive or this was over the top. And I think it's pretty ridiculous to go after him for this particular incident. But I also think there's probably something there with his history.
No,
I don't believe so.
ESPN just they did jump on this,
mm-hmm.
and immediately it seemed like they couldn't have spoken with her and asked her even
if
she felt uncomfortable. There was no
time for
that. Well, she
100% felt uncomfortable. You don't have to ask her. She said it on the air.
Can we talk brass tacks here? Actually, you know what? We're going to pay some bills. I'm going to talk brass tacks here on the way back. We also have to get to a little Father's Day revisit. And here's the other thing. I actually believe that there could be folks in power who are like, you know what? We need to go very pro-female here with Molly Caron.